Thank you for joining us again on another episode of Get Ready News. I'm Mark Lindstedt. This is my brother David Lindstedt. And we're here to talk about things we find in the news and where we might see them biblically and what they might mean to us as believers. And there's been a ton of things in the news recently, and it's hard to really pick one over another.
Absolutely. There's so much stuff going on, and it's amazing how fast I think we're moving in a direction. I feel like we're headed one way, and even people I talk to who are not Christians feel like something's coming. Something's just on the precipice, about ready to happen.
Yeah, the way I look at it, remember the old cartoons when we were kids where a snowball's at the top of the hill and it begins to roll down, and the next thing you know, it's bigger than a house and it smashes everything in sight. And I really think that's where we are. I see that happening.
Yeah, I can see that. It's just getting bigger and bigger. That snowball is enormous right now.
Yeah. Well, one of the biggest news articles, I think, right now in conservative channels would be the fact that the Daily Wire has split ways with Candace Owens.
Yeah, she's been with him for quite a while, and I always enjoy listening to her. She does a real good job, and she's very educated and knows what's going on. But they had kind of a disagreement, and the Daily Wire is not really talking about what happened, but there's a lot of speculation to what it was.
Well, it says right here in this article that Candace Owens leaves the Daily Wire amid Israel and anti-Semitism tensions. Now, I don't know that I could see her being anti-Semitic.
I don't think so either, and I think it stems back to a comment that she made that where she said, you know, with this war that's going on over there, she feels sorry for she calls them Palestinians. I'm going to call them Gazans.
Yeah.
People who we would say are not necessarily terrorists that are trapped in the middle of this war.
But I really hate to say it, though. The Gazans, and I do feel sorry for what's happening to them, but, you know, they elected Hamas. Now, do they elect Hamas the same way we elected Joe Biden?
That's a great way to think about it. There's all sorts of bad stuff going around all over the world. I don't know that we have fair elections anymore.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know how that really works. But even myself, is when I pray for this area, I pray for Israel.
Mm.
I stand for the Israeli people, but also pray for the people in Gaza.
Yeah.
You know, I want everybody to come to the Lord. Not just people I like, not that I don't like them, but, you know,
sure.
I want to pray for everybody to come to the Lord, and I do feel sorry for them, even the citizens of, like, Ukraine.
Mm.
Those people are trapped in the middle of all this money laundering and craziness going on over there.
I don't think I've ever known a country other than the United States that seems to fund both sides of the same war so often.
Well, we see that, like, rampant throughout the entire world. It's almost like one side's doing this side, and we're also giving money over here, and we're fighting in the middle, and we're fighting with Tony Stark, as you know. We supplied everybody's weapons, and everybody's fighting with us. And I think of all the weapons we left back in Iraq.
Oh, wow.
And Afghanistan, you know. Yeah. the pullout on that was disastrous.
It's almost like war is a great business.
Yeah, isn't that the truth? You know, they always say if you run short of money, start a war, you know, and we get all these gears running.
Well, I look at so many times, I hear people, and I think Candace may have mentioned this, that if you have enough money to send it to another country, you're taxing your people too much.
Yeah, that's for sure. You know, and I even look at some of this craziness we're doing with the money here.
Mm.
We've got all these homeless people, but yet we're giving illegal aliens, and I'm going to say it that way, they're breaking the law coming here, and we're rewarding them with a place to live, money in their pocket, and food in their belly.
Well, I remember they asked Joe Biden if he felt bad for, or he felt like he used the wrong word when he called them illegal, and he goes, well, that's kind of what they are. He finally admitted that they're illegal immigrants, they shouldn't be here, they're breaking the law.
Yeah, they're in fact humans, and I feel for them, and I want them to have a better life, but what they're doing is wrong.
Yeah.
Now, I do believe we need to revamp the way we get into this country to become a citizen, because it is very convoluted. I have several friends that have become citizens, and it's very, very expensive and hard to get in here, but we also need to vet these people.
Yeah.
We need to make sure that the people that are coming across the line are who, in fact, they say they are.
Well, here's the sad thing for me is most people who become a citizen of the United States, know more about the United States than those who were born and raised here.
Absolutely.
And I think that speaks right to our schooling. And we're trying to remove, as a nation, I believe, we're trying to remove the patriotism and the love of America and the understanding of why America is what it is.
Exactly. I was talking with my daughter, and you know, they don't have a class, a patriot class. They don't have a citizenship class.
Yeah.
And it seems like when I went to school, we had American government class, and we had things, American history.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't say that I'm probably the most versed on everything.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I think it's even less now.
Well, we were taught that America is a great nation.
Yes.
And I don't care what you say. Even right now, America, in my opinion, is still the greatest nation on earth. But the word nation, we'll talk about that
yes.
a little bit, what that really means. But we're the greatest, I guess I should say, civilization on earth. We have the freedom. I mean, we're looking at Canada right now, who's talking about if you read the Bible in public, it's a hate crime. You can go to prison for the rest of your life if you're convicted of a hate crime.
Yeah, and over across the pond, over in England, they arrested those people for praying silently in their head, just standing there praying and not saying anything out loud. They arrested them.
Wow. Well, I think that what we're seeing here is as people push to show where even some conservatives are waning in their support for Israel, I think what we're seeing is an overall problem. And as we see this next image here, or this next picture, we see that the question is America abandoning Israel?
That's a good question. I see more and more evidence every day that we are starting to divide from Israel.
Mm.
And it starts at the top down.
Yeah.
One of the things that has come up recently, there was a vote in the UN to whether or not Israel had to have a ceasefire.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, Israel was attacked horrifically on October 7th. And they are getting rid of the terrorists that have caused this.
Mm-hmm.
And when that vote took place at the UN, we abstained. We did not vote, which allowed that to pass. If we would have voted, it wouldn't have went anywhere.
Yeah. Well, I think we've passed, up until now, we voted no. We've been the one to say no, no, no. And now we've just said we're gonna cross our arms and watch whatever you want to do.
Yeah.
And I see America as a whole really pulling away from Israel. And it's sad. There's an idea of what's called replacement theology, where they believe that, oh, if you turn to Jesus, I'll heal your land. And that's not for America. That's for Israel.
Yes.
The only blessing that we're going to get is when it says, I'll bless them that bless thee, and I'll curse them that curse thee. And through your family, all nations will be blessed.
Yeah, I agree with that 100%. And I've watched many YouTube channels, and I even see these people separating themselves from Israel.
Yeah.
And like we've stated before, we're 100% behind God's people.
Yes.
We may not be behind their government all the time, and the decisions that they make are not just always right, but we are for God's people. And I think people have said now the Christians have replaced the Jews, and that's not true.
Well, I'm trying to remember. Was it Schumer? Mm, one of them called for a new vote to replace Netanyahu.
Yep, that was Schumer.
I'm ready for Netanyahu to say you need a new vote to replace Biden.
Yeah.
Who are we as America to tell Israel you need a new vote to replace your leader?
Exactly. They're a sovereign nation. We're a sovereign nation. They have no right to tell us what to do. We have no real right to tell them what to do.
Well, and when I think about people like Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer and these people, I think of demonically possessed people, because no one in their right mind could say the things that they say and be as evil as they are and not have a conscience to stop and repent.
Absolutely. It's just bizarre. It used to be that all the members of Congress and Senate and all these places were always pro-Israel, trying to help Israel. You know, we've always been the great Satan, and they were the little Satan.
Yeah.
And now we're starting to fall off the map, and it's just going to be Israel standing by themselves. In fact, I believe we see that in Ezekiel 38.
Yeah.
When the invaders from the north, which we believe to be Russia and their hordes, coming in, they're coming in to take a spoil, and what happens with the rest of the world? Well, why are you doing that? And they don't do anything.
You shouldn't do that.
Yeah. Shame on you for doing that.
Well, I just am amazed as I watch America turn from God.
Yeah.
I see them turning from Israel as well. You know, there was a minister who was allowed to pray, or who was asked to give a prayer for opening of Congress, and they sent him a list of things he couldn't do. He couldn't say Jesus. He couldn't say the blood of Christ. Things right. like that. And, man, do you think our forefathers would have told him that?
No, not at all. They would have let him say exactly what was on his mind and what God led him to say.
And they got mad at him because he said, when I got up there, I just felt the Lord wanted me to say it right. And he prayed to Jesus, and he broke all their rules, and of course made them all angry. But you know what? He proclaimed the name of the Lord to our government and told them, we need to repent of our sins and get right with God.
Praise the Lord on that.
I was so happy to see that. But one of the things this leads me into is something that I hear a lot, especially when I'm out speaking on the conference road here, and I go to a prophecy conference, and I give a few messages here and there, and I get stopped all the time by people who say that America is all over Bible prophecy.
Yeah, I hear this a lot, too. Everybody's trying to take and say, well, if you track down the young lions here, and they go to here, and then that comes to us, and they just try to convoluted way of trying to make America being in Bible prophecy.
Well, I'm going to tell you, I'll state this right now. I believe that the United States of America is nowhere in the Bible.
I agree with that 100%. I cannot find anywhere in the Bible that mentions us at all. One of the things that I always go back to is the 70 weeks of Daniel.
Yeah.
Daniel was given a prophecy from God about 70 weeks for Israel.
Mm-hmm.
And what it talks about is this is what's going to happen in the 69th week. Jesus would be born and be cut off and he'd raise again. And then there's a pause in time. There's still a 70 week left.
Yeah. The last 70th week, there's an age of grace from 69 till the beginning of 70.
Right.
And we see there that the Bible deals specifically then in nations.
Exactly. And it lists the nations that it deals with.
Yeah. And so one of my things that I always say when I talk about this is, since the Bible speaks in nations, America, the United States of America, is not a nation according to the Bible. Biblical nations are people groups, the Edomites, the Israelis, or the Jewish people, whatever you, however you want to refer to them. And America is a blended nation of all nationalities. In fact, you can move to Germany and not become a German. You can move to Sweden and not become Swedish. But if you move to America, you can become American.
Exactly. We're not just a people group. We didn't move from the Tower of Babel to these different locations, a group of people.
Yeah.
We are a melting pot, or supposed to be a melting pot, of all different people groups.
Mm-hmm.
And we're more of a modern civilization that's come together. And our undoing is becoming that we're not melting anymore.
Well, but like you said, though, when we see that end of the 69th week, and the pause, the age of grace, or the church age, whatever we want to call it, and we see that pause until the 70th week begins, then the Lord starts to deal with people personally.
Exactly. I see the all 70 weeks are dealing with the nation of Israel and the other nations around the world.
Mm.
And here we have a pause. And right now, God is dealing personally with each person. It is a personal decision. It's not geared by nations like it was in the Old Testament, if you will.
Yeah.
But it's going to come a time when the church age is over and we're going back to that 70th week, that last week, God goes back to dealing with nations.
Yeah.
But we're not a nation according to the Bible.
Well, one of the verses that I get brought up a lot when it says, well, America's in the Bible, is this Revelation 12:14.
Yeah.
And it talks here about the woman was given two wings of a great eagle that she might fly into the wilderness. And they say, see, the eagle.
That's
means,
right.
Well, if that's the case, Rome used an eagle.
Yeah.
Britain uses an eagle. The Catholic Church uses an eagle. The Greek Orthodox uses a double-headed eagle. I mean, how many eagles do I need to talk about here?
Exactly. And this is, of course, in the end times, in that 70th mm-hmm. week, and it's talking about Israel is going to go into hiding, and she, the nation, needs to be carried mm-hmm. into safety. And so people try to claim, well, this eagle has to be United States because we're helping them.
Yeah.
But remember, back in the Magog War, United States, Arabia,
like
Saudi
this.
Arabia, crossed their arms and just let things happen.
Yeah.
So I don't know that this can't be America, because I like to do something called Bible Interprets Bible. So I always go back and I try to see, is there something that I can look at in the Bible that tells me what this really is?
I mentioned that this last conference to a gentleman. I said, you know, the Bible interprets itself. It's a self-interpreting book.
Exactly.
If you're willing to do the research, it will show you exactly what it's talking about. And he told me I was crazy.
Hmm.
And I said, well, I'm not real crazy, because I've seen it happen. In fact, here's where we see the Bible interpreting itself.
Exactly.
Exodus 19:4. And here we see it says, you have seen what I did to the Egyptians and how I bare you on eagle's wings and brought you unto myself.
So was that America that did that?
Well,
or
yeah.
Was that Britain that did that?
No, that was America. Well, America was back then in the Exodus.
It's very interesting. This is showing that God himself is doing this.
Yeah.
And he says, on wings, as wings.
Yeah.
And also I know over in Isaiah 40:31, it talks about giving strength and mm-hmm. to mm-hmm. refresh those that are weary. And God says, there I give you wings also to lift your load.
Yeah.
It's not a nation. This is actually God. God is the one that's going to carry Israel to safety, yeah. not us.
2 Timothy get back here. 2 Timothy 3, and it says, know this know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. And I'm telling you what, I see that right now.
Exactly. And, you know, the thing that I find interesting is, remember that this is a list of stuff, but people that are saved used to be in this list.
Yes.
And they're no longer
yes.
in this list. But this is just a good picture of what's getting ready to happen. And I see nothing but narcissism and mm-hmm. lovers of self and pleasure more than God. I see all of that coming to fruition right now.
Yeah. Well, and what I want to get to with this is what I see is this is America to a T.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
And if you look at Romans, we see what the divine judgment should be on a civilization. You can see, he says, I'm going to give you over to your vile affections if you continue down this road. And we are continuing down this road.
I think we can see that, because all sorts of evil imagined mm-hmm. things are coming to pass. And it says in the Bible that even the imagination was evil, and we're finding new ways to sin.
Yes.
We have opened the door. I even saw an article the other day that said a gay couple can now have an embryo. They figured out mm-hmm. some way to make this without a woman. And the things that we're coming up with are just insane. I don't know if that article is true,
yeah.
or if they could ever do it, but I'm just saying,
yeah.
we are going crazy
yeah.
down the side of the cliff.
Well, what I see also, and the way I explain that America is not in prophecy, is look where we're at.
Yeah,
We're going to implode. We're going to come to a time when we can't even support ourselves. And I think we're going to be helpless to help Israel. There's going to be nothing left to support Israel with.
Yeah, I think that America has to decrease
yeah.
for the end times to happen. I mean, and we're already there. We're
yeah.
already going
yeah.
down. You know, I America, what they used to stand for
yeah.
back in the 1800s and early 1900s is gone.
Yeah.
And now we are just, you know, it's funny you say that. My dad, our dad, says that he does find American Bible prophecy. And I said, oh, really? Where's that? He says, at the last battle at Armageddon, we'll be against Israel, just like every other nation.
Yeah, the hordes of everybody will be Everybody.
And we're turning on Israel now, and you can see the slant now, and we're going to be part of that group that comes against Israel in the end.
Well, we see, talking about coming against Israel, we talked about the Gog-Magog War, and we see that the very first one where it talks about Rosh and Moscow and Tubalishk and all and Gomer all coming against Israel, and they come to take a spoil. Well, we had an interview with a good friend of ours, Jim Barfield, and he's with a project called the Copper Scroll Project. And you want to talk about having a spoil that makes somebody jealous to come try and take it? The Copper Scroll reveals some pretty interesting things.
Well, I was blown away by his presentation and everything he said, and and we went through 57 different locations on this Copper Scroll that describes a certain place, and we think we found that place.
Yeah.
And this Copper Scroll is just backing up that we're in the right area.
Yeah, Jim, his background is as an investigator, a fire investigator, and he took all of his years of experience of investigation and put them towards the Copper Scroll and trying to understand what it says. You know, the Copper Scroll was found, I think, in 1952.
Right.
Along the same area of the Dead Sea Scrolls. And this is the area right here. This is called Qumran. And there's a little civilization that was actually here.
Yes.
It's not like it's just out in the middle of nowhere, a bunch of caves.
Right.
There was something there.
I think this was where he said the prophets gathered, the scribes gathered to copy scripture. It's always been kind of a holy site. I wouldn't sit here and just say, oh, this is the second temple site.
Yeah.
But it was a holy site in the fact that the men of God gathered here to protect things, to do things.
Yeah.
And I think that he told us that the scroll was found like a mile west, which would be up.
Yes. Well,
there's a cave up where Vendel Jones was.
A cave with a column splitting the opening.
Right. Yes. And I think that's where it was found, where the Dead Sea Scrolls were actually found here in this cave four.
Cave four right
somewhere in there. So they were a little ways away from each other, but in that general area.
Now, if you know the Qumran area, this is a picture of it. This is a little bit older picture, and I chose it because the scaffolding that they have built out here for the tourists isn't here yet. And this really just gives you a great overlook. But what he's done is he's translated this. He's come across a good way to translate it, because for all these years they haven't had a good way. And he thinks he's figured out the locations of some of these things. Here's a better picture of Cave 3, where they found some other artifacts and whatnot. But this is just kind of the area. And the reason they this area worked well is it's by the Dead Sea. It's a dry, arid place, and it keeps things well. That's why the Dead Sea Scrolls were found.
Exactly. And this is a perfect place to hide things you want to keep. And one of the things that we're looking at is some of the antiquities that came out of Solomon's temple.
Yeah.
So it's very exciting, very exciting. And I think we did some interviews with Mr. Barfield, and I think we're going to post those.
Yeah, we are. We definitely are. But just speaking a little bit more of what we found there, he even says the Copper Scroll specifically says the tabernacle of Moses is in one of these caves.
That's fascinating to think that we have an opportunity to find that. I always thought, you know, I would love to find the Ark of the Covenant or the Table of Showbread or any of the implements. I mean, there's thousands and thousands of implements that go into the temple. And to think that we could actually be on the precipice of finding this.
Oh, I tell you what, it lists like the ephod, the breastplate of the high priest is there. And in one location, in the dry cistern, it says there's 900 talents of gold.
You think there's a reason for someone to want to come down into to Israel to claim a spoil?
Some people might say, well, what's a talent?
Oh, that's true.
A talent is 75 pounds. Some people say it might be 105 pounds.
Yep.
Times 900 in one location.
I think we've kind of been thinking about it a little bit, and I think it's like $1.5 billion to $2 billion worth of gold.
Polished gold.
Right there. Plus, we also think, he also thinks that right above the one steps area, that there is 70 talents of silver.
Yes.
And it's just unbelievable amount of wealth. But all that wealth is not ours.
No.
We're not trying to find wealth to become wealthy.
Yeah.
We are trying to reestablish Israel's heritage.
Yes.
This is all for them.
Well, and Jim Barfield, you know, some people might have called him a treasure hunter, and he's not a treasure hunter. He wants to find this. He wants to make it known to the world that the Bible is true. We found everything that the Bible ever talked about. And he wants Israel to have fair claim back to the Temple Mount. And these treasures are actually set aside for the temple. And I think back to the handwriting on the wall. Remember when took the emblems out of the temple, and they decided, well, we're going to drink from these and party from these. And what happened?
God judged them that night.
Instantly.
Yep.
And so I would say that if you think that you're going to steal some of this treasure, be careful what might happen to you if you do.
Yep. And every time we talked to Mr. Barfield, he doesn't want your money.
No.
You can offer him money. He doesn't want it. All he wants to do is show that the Word of God is true, to reestablish Israel, to give them the things that are hidden that they don't have, to move on.
Well, it's even said that maybe the Ark of the Covenant is there.
That's just something fantastical.
I can only imagine, and I always say for such a time as this, I think the Lord reveals things in a time when they should be revealed. And can you imagine maybe what we would call, some people call it revival, but I would call it mass conversions if they find the Ark of the Covenant and pull it out of the hole?
Yeah, and I also could see if they find the Ark of the Covenant, that become a powder keg in that area, and it might spark another war.
Yeah.
Because the Muslims and all these people do not want this to be found.
Well, I know that Jim's feeling behind this and our feeling behind all this is that through this, you become closer to God. And if you're not with God, that you come to God and you come to Jesus as your Savior. And you realize that He was real, God is real, and Jesus was born of a virgin, that He lived a sinless life, that He went to the cross and He bore my sins and your sins, and that through our faith in Him and His resurrection, we have eternal life. That's the whole goal that Jim has set aside for this. And that's all we're hoping this accomplishes as well.
Absolutely.
So check us out. We're going to put up our QR code to our YouTube channel. There's 4 interviews there that go into more depth, but not quite all of it. There's so much information, we're going to have some more.
Absolutely. He'll be coming back. And if you would like to leave comments on there, maybe questions you would like for us to ask or pass on, or questions we can answer for you, we would be very happy to do that.
Yeah.
Even about your eternal destination, your salvation.
Amen. So check out these videos, and we'll see you next time.